Dear brothers and sisters, today is Thanksgiving Sunday, a day to worship and give thanks for the abundant harvest God has granted throughout the year. First of all, we give all thanks and glory to God for bestowing great blessings upon us in spirit and in body, and for watching over us. And not just today, I hope that you can always give thanks to Father God every day, every minute. As you look back on the year, what reasons for Thanksgiving do you have? Many are thankful for good health, no need for a hospital or medicine, and being protected. Thankful that God made your home happy and stay awake in prayer with the hope of heaven. Be faithful and strive for change with faith, hope, and love. Above all, many are thankful that God poured out great grace at every church event, allowing you to live a joyful life of faith. And same for myself personally, I always give thanks that when I look back at the church events, that at every church event we've got great weather, we've got God's grace pouring upon us, and it's great to look back on the year that even though, for example, we've got the summer retreat, even though it's been a few months since the summer retreat, we can still feel the happiness, the joy from the summer retreat, the happiness and the joy from our church anniversary back in October. And I hope that through this happiness and joy that we can always give thanks to Father God and continue to be transformed in the truth. And even though we may not have great events all the time, the fact that our life is at peace is something to be grateful for to Father God. Perhaps if you've had any trials or tribulations, the fact that you could overcome that is also another reason for Thanksgiving. And I hope that you can look back on the year in 2025 and continue to find reasons to give thanks. In every moment, and I hope that you can continue to do that. Many are thankful that God poured out great grace, and if you search for reasons to give thanks in every moment, the blessings are countless. It's overflowing. Sometimes I give thanks, I pray in Thanksgiving, for the fact that I can still pray, because if you think about it, if praying is extremely difficult, then you won't be able to pray to God. The fact that you can pray is a blessing. Some people pray with babbling, or some people pray with fleshly thoughts and fleshly words, as opposed to praying spiritually. When you pray with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, time goes so quickly. It's almost as if you're opening the tap and water just keeps coming out. The words of prayer, they just keep flowing out from your mouth. And if you don't have that inspiration from the Holy Spirit, your prayer is difficult. It's almost annoying because, you know, these words are they need to come out from your mouth, but they're not able to come out. But if you're full of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then these words just freely flow from your mouths. And for me personally, I also give thanks for the fact that through Pastor Emeritus's sermons and the words of God, the holiness gospel that he received from God through fasting and great prayer, I give thanks for this, because through Pastor Emeritus's sermons and words received from God, I can prepare my sermons a lot more easily. And when I prepare for my sermons, it's difficult to preach if I don't understand God's words. I always have to look back and continue to study the words. Because when I see Pastor Emeritus's sermons, sometimes there are times when I look at certain sermons and it's difficult for me to understand as well. So I would think on that. I would pray on that. And I would, you know, request God for enlightenment. And when I come across difficult sermons, I would keep that in my heart. I would prepare myself spiritually. And by the time I come to Daniel prayer meetings at night, I give great thanks to Father God because Father God enlightens me with the meaning of the difficult sermons, and I can understand God's words more in depth so that I can preach to all the congregation, whether it's, you know, children or adults or male or female. I can preach a lot more easily. And if you think about it, let's reflect on our recent Mami magazine on Friday, the testimony of our church member. She mentioned that, you know, she didn't have anything to give thanks for, but after receiving healing and blessings and answers, she has found so many reasons to give thanks to God for. And I hope that you can continue to search for more reasons to give thanks in every moment of your life. But in Habakkuk 3 verses 17 to 18, it says, though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The true confession of thanksgiving that Father God desires from His children is this kind of thanksgiving. So if we look at the first part of this sermon, let's say that, you know, you think there are no reasons to be to give thanks to God for. The opposite of giving thanks is complaining and grumbling. And if you think that, you know, all you have in your life are grumbling and complaining, then, you know, look back on yourself and pray with this gospel of holiness. Consider this your opportunity to change your mindset into, you know, a mindset of thanks. And Habakkuk, this verse that we just read through is, you know, a true confession of thanksgiving that Father God desires from His children, from nothing. It's this kind of thanksgiving that Father God wants from us. So, when you are at peace in your life, when you have peace in your life, you should give thanks to Father God, of course, but you should give thanks to God even more when you have trials and tribulations and despair. And through these confessions of thanksgiving in whatever situation your life may be in, that's a way to overcome any trials and tribulations. And it's a way to show God that you are giving a true confession of thanks. And this is your opportunity to all who are complaining and grumbling in life to give thanks. Even if there appears to be no visible reason to give thanks, a true child of God rejoices and is glad in God alone, giving thanks for this grace of salvation. This is the very image of God's child gained through the cultivation of mankind. And if you cannot give thanks, people of the world know how to give thanks. But, you know, some people with good hearts will give thanks to heaven when blessings come despite not knowing God. So how much would it grieve God if you call yourself His child, a Christian, and live surrounded by many reasons for thanks, but, you know, don't recognize God's grace nor give thanks? Another that brings sorrow to God's heart is when He gives abundant grace and countless reasons to give thanks, but no fruit is born. For example, if the weather and conditions were good throughout the year, God is giving great conditions. He's giving you soil. He's giving you seed. But if the farmer is lazy and neglects the field, resulting only in a small harvest, that responsibility lies entirely with the farmer. If God has entrusted you with a duty, but you are careless in fulfilling it, for example, the farmer is lazy, despite God giving you, you know, seeds, soil, and the right conditions. If the farmer is lazy and neglects the field, then, you know, it's the farmer's fault. Sometimes you'll find that in harvest time, the weather is unnatural and it suddenly rains a lot. And when that happens, sometimes the fruit that's born, the wheat, the fields can get destroyed. But if the farmer was to not be lazy and always put in the effort to look after the fields, then you can result in harvest. So the farmer never stops his work. And there's a lot of effort in being a farmer. And through this effort is how you reap a harvest. So if God has entrusted you with a duty, but you are careless in fulfilling it, so that there is no fruit to present before Him at the end of the year, how sad and shameful would it be? If you say that you've put in all this effort and hard work, but complain that no one's recognizing you, how is that right? You need to always give thanks for God giving you grace first, for God trying to save you first. The fact that God has placed His hand out first to us has made us walk the path of salvation so that we can, you know, become dutiful as part of the church. But if you don't give thanks for the simple fact of, you know, working for the church, then it would be shameful before God. You cannot receive the rewards from God. If you complain, saying that no one's recognizing you for all the hard work that you do for the church, the volunteering work, when in reality it was God that put His hand out first for you. Through the message on not lagging behind in diligence, being fervent in spirit and serving the Lord, look back on yourself and ask whether you've been really diligent and faithful this year. What fruit can you offer Him? May this word become life and strength so that when the Lord comes again, you can be praised for the good work. Let's look at newcomers in the church. Many of our church members who are evangelizing and helping newcomers to come to our church, you know, they're extremely grateful for the fact that newcomers are even just coming to the church. And our newcomers are also thankful for the people who evangelize them, for the fact that they can come to church. But if you simply say, you know, I've done my part in simply going to church, and that wouldn't be right, because the fact that you are evangelized is a reason to give thanks to Father God, because you are able to find truth and find eternal salvation. Through this thanks, through this heart of love, you can find ways to volunteer and be more faithful and diligent to God's kingdom. And this is a way to grow in your spiritual faith. You don't just stop at being thankful for being evangelized or coming to church. You continue, you find ways to give thanks, you search for ways to volunteer and put in diligence towards God's kingdom. And I'm sure that, you know, most, if not all, of our church members have done the same and continue to give thanks and fervently work for God's kingdom, whether it's with volunteering hearts or as real work. So I hope that through this gospel of holiness, you can be praised for the good work when the Lord comes again. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise. The great Almighty God has given us mankind, humankind, and within that mankind, the lazy people, God has given people the command to go to the ant, a small insect, and learn from the ants. We must not neglect God's words. We need to use this word and reflect upon ourselves and check what it is that we need to learn from these small insects called an ant. And when we look at the ants and how busy and how diligent they are, we need to look back on ourselves and see what areas we need to be transformed. Like today's title, ants are diligent. A good example of an insect that works with great zeal. Among living creatures on earth, ants are known as some of the most faithful. There are also honeybees that are quite faithful as well. But ants are not only diligent, but they work as a community. They work as a team. And sometimes we have church members that say, especially if you live in the countryside, many say that their lives are difficult because of ants. But really, if you think about it, you can understand the ants' perspective because, you know, people ended up building houses and land on the habitats of the ants. Among the ants never stay still, spending most of the day working. They build tunnels, carry food, search for food, scout the paths, repair the nest, and care for the queen. Ants move tirelessly and even build underground cities. In Brazil, a giant leafcutter ant colony had been discovered, and you can see that, you know, it's so large that people are inside it. And this underground city covered an area equivalent to 200 soccer fields, approximately 200 to 300 square kilometers, and contains 600 to 800 kilometers of interconnected tunnels, countless storage chambers, there's a ventilation system, and even waste disposal sites. Scientists who analyzed this enormous structure were amazed, saying it resembled a human megacity. The colony wasn't built in a single generation, but over hundreds of years, through many generations of ants. And it continued. It didn't just happen overnight. Ants are faithful in their given roles, and when an ant rests, another immediately takes over so that the work never stops, an unbroken cooperative system. This behavior shows that true diligence is not a passive attitude. Even at work, in the world, when employees go on holidays in the company, you will find that another employee takes over the other person's job temporarily. There are times when if people end up quitting the job, another person has to come over and take over. So same with ants, there's an unbroken cooperative system in place. This behavior shows that true diligence is not a passive attitude of merely doing what you're told, but working proactively with a sense of responsibility. And this is, you know, an area where people need to learn from the ants. Ants also instinctively prepare for the next day. During summer, ants carry food hundreds of times a day and don't go out in winter. We've got a fable from Aesop's Fables about the ant. And we can see that in the fable of the ant and the grasshopper, the ant always works hard and gathers food for the winter, even though the grasshopper laughed at the ant for working so much. So even when the ants have stored enough food, they don't settle into comfort but ration and keep extra in case of danger. Some species even chew, and I hope that, you know, people can also save in their lives as well and don't just waste the items in your care. Pastor Emeritus also taught us to save, you know, save, for example, your money and offer to God through your savings. Of course, as Christians, we believe in God. But we must also live according to the worldly law as well and save for tomorrow. Of course, you know, for me personally, it's not like I have life insurance, but it's the fact that, you know, we still live in the world, so we need to still prepare. We can't be careless and neglect our life just because we say we believe in God. And, you know, a way to save is to save the food and the money that you spend on that day for tomorrow. You know, you don't just waste money going shopping all the time and spending, you know, money on food carelessly. I try my best to save where I can and, you know, use what I need to use and offer when I offer. Some ant species even chew and ferment food to increase its preservation, an advanced biological storage method. Despite not being hungry at the time, ants store food in preparation for the coming winter. Their disciplined future preparation and refusal to rest in present comfort teaches a valuable lesson. Ants don't give up even if they lose their way or encounter obstacles. They try and try again, sometimes dozens of times. If ants drop the food they carry, instead of abandoning it, they pick it up again. If a path is blocked, they search for a detour and keep going even if there's failure. This is a question for all of our church members. Have you ever played around with ants? I have. When I was at school, we had PE, physical education time, and we'd always have PE lessons outside in the grass or on the dirt, and I would play around with the ants in the dirt or on the ground. One time, as an adult, I went on a mission trip to South America, and I think it was a mission trip to Peru. And when I went on the mission trip to South America, people gave me mangoes. And after I received mangoes, I saw that not soon after, ants came over because they could smell and the food, the sweetness of the mangoes. And I also saw that afterwards I would eat a biscuit and there were some crumbs that had fallen on the table. And the ants, next minute, they come over for the mangoes, and then I saw that these same ants would grab the crumbs from the biscuits on the table and carry the crumbs away. And it was really interesting to see. I would play around and move crumbs here and there. I would even put a larger piece of a biscuit, a cracker on the table. And it was really fun to watch because it wasn't just one ant that came to carry the cracker away. It was a larger piece. It wasn't a small crumb. But a whole team of ants would come to carry all those crackers away, whether big or small. And it was really interesting and extremely fun to watch the way the ants would work in collaboration with each other. And, you know, if they don't see a path, if the path is blocked, they search for a detour and they keep going until they succeed. This persistent repetition ultimately leads to success. Studies show that ants attempt the same goal an average of more than 40 times. So there's nothing that humans cannot do. If you try and search for ways, if you request God for wisdom, if you continue to pray fervently, then you can attain success. Of course, you can't be greedy and ask for something extremely big to happen overnight. You need to take steps as if you're on the stairs and learn from the ants. Some humans called the crown of creation are so lazy and irresponsible that they fall short of ants. Even on lazy, some people fail to fulfill their roles in the given life. And some live without any purpose at all. A common trait is that people ruin their own lives with complaints and grumbling. They compare themselves with others and only envy, never learning from the labor and effort of others. These people's lives are always difficult, burdensome, and don't have any growth. They only make excuses for themselves and don't put in any effort. They just make excuses saying, you know, this is why I can't grow. This is why, you know, I'm failing. This is why I can't succeed. But have you really worked as hard as the ants? You may see all the successful people in the world and just, you know, envy them, but really, have you seen the amount of effort and diligence, you know, all those successful people have put in order to get to that stage? Some people aren't where they should be or fail to stand their ground at the right place. When help is needed, it's of no use. Think as to whether you are someone who keeps your place and duty in your family, workplace, and society, someone truly needed by those around you. Instead of blaming your family members, colleagues, or others in your community for not treating you well, you should reflect on how much you have been a help to them. Above all, can you really say that you've served the Lord diligently, faithfully fulfilling your role and keeping your place? Let's look at how to not lag behind in diligence, be fervent in spirit, and serve the Lord. First, you must never be lazy or idle in the Lord. Though it's for earthly purpose, there are people in the world who show extraordinary zeal to achieve certain goals. Some work harder than others, sweating to live a prosperous life, and others labor greatly to gain honor or knowledge. If these efforts are not in the Lord, it will ultimately end as perishables on earth. Still, it's important to learn from their diligence and perseverance. Not be lazy, but strive with effort. Even though this is an earthly person, we have an example of someone who has overcome trials and is extremely diligent. We've got a Korean ballerina called Suji Kang. Suji Kang majored in traditional Korean dance until elementary school. In middle school, she transitioned to ballet. And even though I have heard of Suji Kang as well in my life, through this sermon, I was able to know more about her life. And I was able to find out more about her diligence. So Suji Kang transitioned to ballet in middle school, and she started relatively late compared to others her age. So she had to build her skills with much more practice and focus. She acknowledged her shortcomings and worked harder to improve. According to various interviews, her autobiography and broadcasts, Kang said her efforts went beyond simply working hard and reached a level of desperation and struggle. She didn't just say, you know, I'm putting in effort. It was almost like, you know, Kang was at the end of her life, you know, if without this, she has nothing. So starting from middle school, she began full training, full-scale training. So soon she was given the opportunity to study abroad and receive international training at the age of 15. Kang could hardly speak any French or English, and she was unfamiliar with Western ballet techniques. In her words, every day was a war. And even though she was able to study abroad, she couldn't communicate well, so she had to learn by physically pushing through everything. Kang didn't truly rest a single day and practiced ballet twice as much as others, especially during her dormitory years. Without missing a single day, she continued late-night personal training after classes and practiced again at dawn. Even during lunchtime when other students rested, she stood before the mirror to check and correct her movements. In the early days of studying abroad, she cried at night while renting a practice room to train alone because she felt that her skills lacked. She repeated the same movement dozens of times a day before the mirror, checking the angle of her toes, center weight, facial expression, and focus. Kang even wrote down failed movements in a notebook to try again the next day. Kang also believed that emotional expression was essential and separately practiced acting in harmony with the emotional flow of the music. She practiced up to 19 hours a day, wearing out more than 200 pairs of pointe shoes in a single season. With such intense training, foot injuries, stress fractures and toenails falling off became common. When her feet bled, she wrapped them with tape and continued. When the pain grew severe, she iced them and went back to practice again. Reportedly, Kang took painkillers and wrapped a broken toe bone in bandages before continuing training and practice, as you can see on the screen. In one interview, Kang said, if I woke up in the morning and my body didn't hurt, it felt like I hadn't practiced properly the day before. Though through relentless self-overcoming, she was eventually recognized as a world-class ballerina. As a result, Kang won first prize at the Prix de Lausanne in 1985, only after 1 year of studying abroad. She later joined the world-renowned Stuttgart Ballet in Germany and became the first Asian principal dancer in a leading European company. In 1999, she received the Benoit de la Danse Award for the Best Female Dancer, known as the Academy Award of the Dance World. In 2007, she became the first Asian to be appointed as a Kamet Tanzarin Royal Court Dancer in Germany, receiving the Order of Merit. Giving her all to achieve goals and succeed, Kang fulfilled her dream and became an inspiration to many. As children of God, we know about the eternal kingdom of heaven and clearly understand that every labor and effort in the Lord will be rewarded. It's important not to be lazy, but fervent in entrusted missions. And if we believe, we must advance with all our strength and believe in the rewards of heaven. If you pray but are not being transformed, then you need to pray more fervently, just like the Friday All Night Service sermon. you know, mankind, humankind, humans need to sweat with effort to attain success, to attain fruit. We need to put in the effort with fervor, with zeal, in order to receive the rewards, which is why we need to pray more fervently, cry out in prayer. You know, you might come to Daniel prayer meetings, you might pray at night, but, you know, all you're doing is just babbling, or perhaps, you know, sometimes you are falling asleep during prayer or just whispering your prayers. How can God give you strength and power? Don't complain that other people are receiving God, that other people are receiving power and strength from God and not you. Father God is equal, is fair. You know, the other, you may ask God for strength and power, but you don't put in the effort. But the other person who receives strength and power has put in that much effort and diligence and has overcome that many trials and tribulations with faith. If you are full of, you know, greediness or the desire to receive acknowledgement or recognition and ask God for power and strength, then God cannot give you power and strength. For transformation, we should not grow weary, but earnestly cry out in prayer without ceasing. Second, it's important to remember that God sees everything you do, even what's done in secret. First was to not be lazy and be diligent. Second was, you know, remember that God knows and sees everything, even what's in secret. God knows how much you love Him, how fervently you're faithful, and how you act in faith. To be acknowledged and praised by God, you must advance with an unchanging heart, with love for Father God and hope in heaven, in hope and faith in heaven. Your service to the Lord must be sincere, whether people see you or not, at any time and in any place, fervent in spirit as you serve the Lord. Father God sees everything. You need to remember and realize that Father God sees everything. And the fact that you understand and realize and remember, this is called faith. Father God sees your actions, your heart, wherever it is you are. But without this faith, it becomes difficult to work for God's kingdom. You end up wanting, you know, recognition from people, not God. You end up wanting praise from people. So unfortunately, some Christians begin with great fervor and zeal, but as time passes, the fire and passion once had, it grows cold. So whilst fervent, they prayed and fasted eagerly and tried to live according to the word. But gradually, those efforts fade and the same people become negligent in fulfilling their duties and end up serving in a formal way that bears no fruit. What God desires is the zeal and passion seen at the beginning, for it to not grow cold, but increase. If your faith grows as you live a Christian life, should you not labor and strive more than before? God asks for fruit according to your measure of faith. For example, God doesn't demand the fruit of a third level of faith from someone only at the first level. To the one who has been given little, God asks for little. To the one who has been given much, God asks for much. This means the greater your faith, the greater the fruit you should bear. If someone at the third level of faith bears the fruit of the first level, this cannot be pleasing to God. So it's important to realize that it's not just the measure of faith that you have, but also the duty, the title in the church, whether you're a deaconess, a senior deaconess, a deacon, or an elder. You know, these church titles are not always visible wherever it is you go. Not everyone knows, but you know your title. And depending on your title, depending on where you stand in the church, also differs, just like your measure of faith. Third, you must check whether you didn't simply bear fruit, but whether you bore fruit according to your measure of faith. When you offer the very best before God according to your measure of faith, this is joyful to God. But when you give fully and faithfully within faith, it helps your faith to grow more. You've got synergy where according to your measure of faith, if you bear fruit, then your faith will grow more. And when you are diligent, then you can bear more fruit. When you bear fruit, you can become more faithful. For example, while doing the Lord's work, you may sometimes suffer difficulties due to various circumstances. You may face the limits of your own ability or encounter misunderstandings, problems, or face opposition from others. Even if it seems impossible, the circumstance can change if you only strive to please God. When you please God, He helps by His power and enables you to bear fruit. You come to, you know, achieve what would be impossible by earthly strength. You can surpass the limits of your own ability and experience works that make the impossible possible. You may not succeed by your own strength, but it becomes possible by the power of God when you show faith and do your best before God. So when you live your Christian life and when you live a Christian life more, the more years you are as a Christian, you should be able to put in more diligence and effort than the day before. What you did yesterday should be easy today. But some Christians, some people, they are Christians for a very long time and they receive more duties and more titles in the church. But they just look back on their past faith and all they say is, you know, I've been receiving more titles and duties than my past. But if you think about it, the fact that you have become a Christian for so many years, your title and your duty should change as the years go past. And the more effort and diligence you put in should be more. Let's say you're at a company, a big company, and you start as an intern. Then you're a first-year graduate. And then you keep advancing until you're a team leader or, a deputy manager. The more you increase in your years at the company, your title increases. And when your title increases, your job changes, your duties change. The more duties you end up taking on, the more responsibility. You don't have the same responsibilities as an intern. If you're a manager or a CEO, the level of responsibility and duties change. So it's the same in the church. If you complain when you have been given more titles or higher titles and more duties, but if you end up complaining about that, then that's not pleasing before God. Luke 13, verse 30, "And behold, some are last who will be first, and some who are first will be last." Some new believers or those who haven't heard the truth for a long time bear great fruit. They're the ones who were last but became first. These people accomplish what would have been impossible by the Spirit, by faith, and by being filled with the Holy Spirit. This fruit includes visible works and spiritual fruits as they pursue sanctification. When the initial zeal doesn't change and they continue to give their best in faith, rely only on God and entrust everything to Him, God helps and great works become possible. Throughout the year, we've seen many new Christians register in our church, receive healing, answers to prayer, and share testimonies with joy. Their faces are filled with what's called first love. Eyes full of tears, flushed cheeks. The moment a testimony or a word of grace is heard, tears begin to flow from their faces. These new believers continually express their love and thanks for the blessing of coming to Manmin Church, of being led to Manmin Church, and eagerly read the Bible, strive together, and desire to be faithful to God's word, to God's work. When I see these hearts and hear people's confessions, a smile naturally appears, and so does a confession of thanks to God. What about you? Are you more fervent and filled with the Holy Spirit than new believers? If you find yourself lacking, then restore that heart now. If you remember your past zeal as a memory, it'd be sorrowful before the Lord. The fervent heart must remain unchanged until the day you meet the Lord, so that you can be praised as good and faithful children. With this Thanksgiving season where crops are ripe and abundant, may you examine your faith with blessings.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis, go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat, go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.